Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and joining me today is Judith Diana Winston, author of The Keeper of the Diary. Diana is a visionary photo artist, writer, life mentor, and author of Meditative Magic, The Palladian Glyphs, an inspired collection of conscious altering symbols. Miss Winston has photographed and experienced the mysteries of many of the world's ancient sacred stone sites, including the Great Pyramids, Stonehenge, Machu Picchu, Bolivia's Tiahuanaco, Easter Island, and more. Hello, Diana.
Nice to be here.
And to have you here today. You know, Diana, as listeners of Healing From Within know, through exploring our inner energetic consciousness, we may come to realize that not everything is as it seems to appear. And by beginning to understand our multidimensional human and divine nature, we can focus on transcending ordinary life circumstances, understand the human condition better, heighten our human potential, create miracles, and also create a healthier, more loving life experience. In today's episode of Healing From Within, in your fictional novel, The Keeper of the Diary, circumstances force the main character, Cassie, a fashion photographer, to take an unlikely job in Egypt, where a diary mysteriously appears in her camera case. Deeply drawn to the content of the material she reads, she discovers an amazing connection to the writer of the diary and alternates between belief and disbelief. If the diary indeed holds some truth, it suggests not only is its writer in danger, but our entire planet. Diana, please tell us something from your earliest memories of life that may have been an indicator of the interests and talents you have developed.
That's a great question. I think for me, as a very small child, well, I had a good imagination, but I always felt there was something bigger, something more than what I was hearing, like, from my teachers or my parents. I didn't really know what it was, but I would say that I was on a quest. Since I was a very young child, and I didn't know what I was questing for. And I'll just say the quest continues.
And it always does, because there's always a new beginning. Nothing really ends.
Always.
We just continue forward. My beginning, and many of the people who have been on the show, also started out as very sensitive, inquisitive, and very talented children.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And who came here to, I believe, rediscover what life is all about, who we are, where we come from, and how we can help to awaken to the possibilities of a life that is more than a life, like a creation of our wildest and most wonderful dreams. And I think your book shows a lot of that, and you began very early, as I did, to know there was more. Now, what inspired you to write The Keeper of the Diary in a fictional form?
Well, briefly, like Cassie, my main character, slightly different circumstances, but very similar, I took a trip to Egypt when I had never even been out of the continental United States. Something came up, an opportunity opened. I didn't really know. There were a number of things that kind of led up to it, or some of which are part of Cassie's story. I gave her a lot of my story. And so I took that trip to Egypt, and it was with a spiritual teacher, and ended up going back a year and a half later on a second trip with him as the photographer for his group while they traveled throughout the Middle East. And when I came back from that trip, there were a lot of unusual experiences that took place. And I had an instant feeling when I got to Egypt the very first time that I had been there before. Just there was something so familiar about many of the sites, especially the older sites like the Pyramid and the Sphinx, and it was just this sense of like re-meeting an old friend. And when I came back from that second trip, there was this story tugging on me. And I had never, this was because my other book, which came out earlier, Meditative Magic, actually came through in the middle of this book having already been started.
Oh, that's
so
amazing.
it was crazy. And so because I have fashioned a lot of Cassie's inner and outer journey on my own experience, I gave her that experience also of creating what I refer to as the glyph book. It's Meditative Magic, the Pleiadian glyph, which kind of came through me, not from me, in a sense.
Well, I think all the great things come through us, the inspiration from higher consciousness or spirit. But also, Diana, you know, I know one of the reasons you wrote the book, because I read it very carefully, is that you wanted to let readers understand that besides our physical bodies, we also have an invisible energy body, which is fed and run by energy from the cosmos. And you discuss the seven invisible energy centers or chakras, which have a vital role in sustaining every atom of our physical body. Now, I'm a Reiki master teacher, and I love the way you describe this, because medicine, in order to reach its full potential, has got to merge the physical with the spiritual, with the emotional, because we're multidimensional beings and we cannot just address the physical symptoms. And that's what my new book, The Living Spirit, is about. So I was very happy to read your wonderful description of the chakras and this aliveness from universal energy that really gives us our force, our personal power, our connection to everybody here on the planet and beyond the planet. So I really did enjoy reading that very much. Now, Diana, you write, it has been said that in the dark time, when the old ways no longer held and confusion reigned, there would come way showers to lead mankind out of the turmoil and doubt and into a new era of light. I kind of think we may be there right now.
I think we're in that time. I think this is that time, which is interesting because this book actually got started almost 25 years ago. But things kept occurring that kept shifting the book, so it really was not ready to come out. So I find it very interesting. It was as if I was tuning in to where we were headed, and Spirit was holding the book back until people would be really ready for it and really need it. And I just wanted to say that word, because people do this all the time, it's actually way showers. And that's what this book is. It's a way shower for this time that we're in that can be so confusing for people. There seems to be so much going on, and time is speeding up, and we need things to help us anchor and to give us tools to go within and feel more solid as things are in such a state of shift and flux.
And change. We're in the middle of some really great changes now. So it's in these days right now of deep questioning, when many people are going within to search for answers, that the ancient legends and stories of a great brotherhood of light, when members walked amongst men.
First walk amongst man.
Wrote this, begin to surface once again. Can you explore that thought for us and show us how your book shares this idea?
Yes, absolutely. As Cassie goes on her journey and she finds this diary, and the diary is actually written by a young Israeli man found in the desert, suffering in the Egyptian desert, suffering from amnesia, who writes the book to remember who he is. And as he does that, his memory opens over a period of time, not only to his childhood in this life, but goes all the way back to the time of Atlantis and his life in Atlantis. And you begin to see a story unfolding, a very ancient story of who we humans are, where we've come from, where we're heading. And there are characters, without giving away too much of the book, there's one character in particular who's David's teacher, who, as he goes back in time, he begins to realize that we've had connection with beings, let's just say, who are not from this plane and not from this planet, that have in some ways been our guides and in some ways our preparers, you could say, for this time of what I see and what the book sees as a great awakening and a time where the human species is actually poised on the brink of its own evolution into its next stage of consciousness. So really, that's there, I believe, and it's a part of this story, how there's been guidance and continues to be for those who have ears to listen. We've never been left on our own, and I'm not even talking about what we want to talk about, whether it's God or prime creator. I'm saying even emissaries of light that have actually walked amongst physical man and have been part of our history. And some of these we know the names of and some we don't.
Mm-hmm. That's like the White Brotherhood that have always been here.
Exactly.
The enlightened beings, the people who came to help refine the human race and to help us develop and build and create and have the technology. We've been helped in many, many ways. And
right, and orchestrated in our favor. And
yes.
So if anybody, you know, has those dark moments where they feel, which we all do,
mm-hmm.
from time to time, you know, that feeling of such isolation and fear and confusion, it's really important to remember that really, if we just can quiet down inside, we're never alone. We're never alone.
No,
is this interconnection of all life. I mean, the air that I'm breathing here in Santa Monica, California, could be your breath coming all the way from New York or somebody else in Egypt. We're all connected, you know.
You know what I read the other day in a medical story or article? That we are 99.9% of the same DNA, and only that 0.1%, or our soul perhaps, differentiates us from each other. And makes us unique. So we do come from some source of light force when
that
the
we
world
all
was created.
Yes.
Yeah. So I know, Diana, you've also photographed many of these sacred sites around the world, which
mm-hmm.
hold extraordinary energy and which probably mm-hmm. were places where these extraordinary helpers or loved ones or guides or emissaries, whatever we call them, from a higher consciousness, visited. And would you like to tell us about some of those sites?
Well, yes. I mean, that's why, you know, they're included the way they are in the story as a part of Cassie's journey. And I was able to, you know, share some of the energetic information as well as the history in the book in an interesting way. So that it wasn't, you know, that's why I wanted to write something in a fiction format so that people could get information while they're carried in this story. And let me just say that, I don't know, some of your listeners may have been to some of these places, but they're each unique. And if you have the opportunity to go, which I was fortunate enough to visit so many and photograph them, and you can quiet yourself there. You can begin to tune in literally interdimensionally. I mean, these are vortex points on the planet. Some have called them, you know, they've referred to the planet as like a crystal grid system,
mm-hmm.
and that the places where the points of the grid cross, there's very particular and concentrated energy, and that the ancient ones chose those places to build these stone sites with very particular types of stone to augment the energy or do particular things that were necessary for the landscape in that area. So that's something that's been fascinating to me. It never ends in its fascination.
Well, you know, as a sensitive, as a medium, when I first started to work, I first became aware that there were a group of people around me. This is in meditation. And they wore brown robes, and I couldn't see their faces, but I could feel their energy and their help as I was developing these healing and intuitive gifts. So when we were talking again about the Brotherhood before, they're all around for everyone. There are guides yes. and teachers that want us each to take a step forward into our own human and divine potential. And I was very much interested. You mentioned Petra, which is located in the Jordanian desert. And it's a place where the Essenes, a faction of the Jews who were unhappy at the time with the secularization of the Jewish priesthood, they separated themselves physically and they went to live in the mountains to lead a simpler and more spiritual life. And can you tell us something of these ancient people, the Essenes?
Well, the Essenes, the particular group of Essenes that seemed to settle in this area of Petra, which, by the way, is just visually amazing. You know, you can, you know, read about it in the book, but you can also go online and look it up, which is Petra. And it's a stone city that's literally carved out of the living rock. And what went on there was these were people who were very deeply spiritually connected. And they chose to really give their life as healers. And as the story goes, that they would take, because at that point in history, we know that leprosy seemed to be this
yes.
problem. Mm. And what the healers in this community would do is they would take on a leper one-on-one, and they would be secluded in one of these caves by themselves and take it on to heal that person. They would open themselves in that, of course, to catching leprosy, but that didn't seem to happen.
You know why? You know why? Because as a Reiki practitioner, and having read a book, Anna, the miracle healer, Anna was the grandmother of Jesus, who probably was also a hands-on healer, she was part of the Essene group, and so was her daughter Mary. They were so committed to God that they had no fear. They had such faith and love and wished God to work through them. So this continues today. There are
absolutely
descendants of these healers, and they work because they just have such great faith and love, and many people can be healed by these hands-on healing techniques. Again, they are a tool, but they are generated by the connection to this universal energy or divine force of our life. And
absolutely, and that acts as a protection.
Yes.
Right there, that same healing energy that allows them to transmit this love, this energy mm-hmm. towards the person they're healing, also acts as protection for themselves.
Right. And, of course, we know we come with a destiny and a life plan, a time to come and a time to leave, and death is just a transformation to a new beginning of life, so there's nothing to fear. And these people, these spiritual people, then and today, know that to be a reality, and it's a beautiful thing. You don't have to live in fear and limitation when you know that you're part of this creative force of eternal life and creation.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I think that sort of sums things up. That's kind of a bottom line, and it ends up coming back to feeling that connection and the love and being able to run that love through your body for the good of the world.
Well, let's get on to something, because I think love's going to be very important in the next question I'm going to ask you. You know, star beings play a role in the story. And you can tell us something about star beings and why they are in the story. But the fact that we humans have the capacity to have emotions, and love is one of the deepest. Love and fear are actually the two main emotions we deal with all the days of our life, just different variations of that. But tell us something about the star beings, because I think we'll learn more about the humans and how they came to be and how they now, what their great gift is from spirit.
Well, in my researches, both outwardly and inwardly, I just came, like you, you know, to really understand there's really only two things that exist in terms of the emotional realm, and they're both very powerful in their way, and it's love and fear, and all of what we call the quote-unquote negative things, anger, jealousy, all those things. Really, they're just variations on fear. And you can't be in fear and in love at the same time.
No.
Like,
no.
Love will dissipate, you know, any of the other, quote-unquote, I use the word negative, because really there's nothing that's negative. It's all part of the one. And so in my story, I make the point, because as I looked at things and followed my guidance and those guides who were working with me, it became more and more clear, the understanding of what the human condition and what the plight and the answer to our whole situation is. And it really is about, how do we come back to choose love? Because in a way,
because we've been separated.
On a very deep level, it's a choice. Mm-hmm. We might think, oh, I don't have a choice. I feel really angry. I don't have a choice. Well, I would beg to differ.
Yes, you know? We always have a choice.
We always have a choice, and sometimes it's a little harder to connect with than other times. But knowing that that's what is the biggest thing about being a human, and is separate between us and the rest of the animal kingdom, is that humans are choosers. And once we take back and understand that that's what sets us apart, that's what allows us to be creators, and take that responsibility in a good way, the ability to respond, and know that anything that's going on in our life, we get to make a choice. We always can make a choice. We can be furious at somebody, and we can walk away, think about it for a while, and make a shift inside, because we choose to. Not because we have to, but because
right.
we choose
to. We don't have to do anything. That's what free will is about.
That's what it's all about.
Each soul has its own journey, and they could either create good or evil or negative things. That is their prerogative. But let me read something that you write that explains something about the human condition and how everything unfolded from the beginning of time. And you wrote, "Before there was anything, there was only oneness or spirit. Over eons of time, facets of curiosity developed within the oneness." I'm saying here that this might be individual souls, and they started to pull themselves out of the oneness. However, the facets or souls knew they were of this oneness and always returned. Inherent in the nature of oneness, there existed a potential for all possibilities. One of these possibilities was the process of materialization, the method by which spirit becomes matter. And this process is what later resulted in the development of mankind. Spiritual essence eventually coalesced into physical form, the human body. In the process, or in the beginning, the facets knew who they were and always returned, but eventually they became so preoccupied with exploring, they forgot they were the oneness. No longer was there a single element. Now there were two elements, spirit and matter, and this comprised the most basic of dualities. And now these primal forces were established and would forever pull upon one another. So you can think of these forces as two magnets, and the materializing force will perpetually pull upon spirit to create more matter. After the time of man's creation, the duality has taken a form of a battle acted out both in the heavens and on the earth plane, many times and in many ways. So this is how it started, and this is where we are. Now,
yes, and that's the setup that what you're reading is from the diary that you find.
Yes.
That goes into, really, as you're reading it, the very beginning of what was to become man. And it's a setup then for the story, how we see coming up to modern times and how that's been acted out time and time again. So we're at a place where the average person walking on the street, they might consider themselves a religious person. They might go to church or to temple or to mosque or whatever their religion is. But still, they don't really know the truth, which is that they are spirit in the
yes.
physical body. And that, I think, from that is where all the problems arise.
The separation that was created by all the belief systems took us away from the oneness, and that's what this show is about, and that's what all the authors who are coming on this show, whether they're psychologists or they're medical professionals or they're teachers or artists or musicians, every show I have had has this one truism, which is, yes, we are spiritual beings having a physical life. And it is necessary at this time for us to come together in cooperation and harmony the way we were at the beginning of forever of time, where we come from in that place of foreverness. And what it turned out to be was human beings developed fear. They were afraid they'd lose their possessions. They were afraid they wouldn't have enough, and they were afraid they had to compete for everything to live this physical life. And there were star beings, you did say in the book, who encouraged this kind of thinking and put a lot of fear into humans. So we were divine beings, and we still are divine beings, but some of us have a little too much fear that needs to be resolved.
You don't know. I specifically had David, the young Israeli man who's keeping the diary, have amnesia, and he's trying to remember who he is, and he writes the diary. But on a bigger level, I think that's symbolic of all of us. We all are walking around with amnesia. You know, we identify with our physical self, and we forget who we truly are behind it all. And I think that at this particular time in our history, when we have separated out so much that we've created, you know, so many problems on the planet and so much abuse of the planet itself, it's a time that is calling for us to remember, in other words, re-own that which we are, which is spirit and which everything is. So then it means that we're all connected. And we can't do harm to animals or to the planet because it's a part of us. We're all the same. We're all made up of the same stuff. So to me, that's the most significant.
Yeah, that word remembering. Yeah,
remembering.
Awakening, becoming reconnected to all that is and all that always will be is where we are now. And many of us are so aware of it. So our energy and these books and these talks and the way we set an example how we live our life is a ripple going out, a ripple of energy of remembrance. I like to think of it that, a ripple of energy of our possibilities and our remembrances of who we are, where we come from, and where we're going. And your book does show us a great deal about all these beginnings and what's coming next for us. So I want to thank you, Judith Diana Winston, for sharing The Keeper of the Diary, not only an engaging, masterful story of one woman's discovery of the true nature and essence of her life, but a thoughtful view of humans and our place in the universal world of evolution. It seems the duality and the battle we fight within, between evil and good, is necessary to find the path to the divine love and all that is needed to enrich life on this planet. For more information and to purchase this creative historical view of metaphysical concepts surrounding the history of our beginning life and development, go to thekeeperofthediarybook.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have, through a fictional piece of writing, examined many ancient ideas underlying the secrets of our world, ancient civilizations, and the way people have always battled the forces of darkness, ignorance, fear, and separation from the source or universal energy. It would appear that to fulfill our destiny means each of us must overcome self-doubt, while also opening our minds and hearts to the infinite possibilities for life-altering changes. Diana shares many of the complicated realizations by civilization over time and how we may discover who we are as infinite and also finite beings. And through all the characters in her book, she shows us the beginning from Kabbalah and onward to understanding we are still one with spirit. Humans are complex because they can experience emotions, most especially love, which, as we know, can be both a gift and a problem. But we have discovered over time that oneness with spirit, as man descended from spirit into matter, and now must descend from matter back to spirit. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear remarkable journeys through ancient, spiritual, religious, and metaphysical investigations by authors and leaders in the field who search to know ourselves and the universe with greater clarity. Also, shows may be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you for listening.